Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Hi, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. Are you looking for a beach read this summer? May I suggest your big wireless bill? It's got suspense, mystery, a slightly flat emotional arc, and a shocking twist where you realize you've been overpaying the entire time. Fortunately, though, Mint's story is better. Every plan, $15 a month, even unlimited. That's it. Happy ending. Zero tears.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. See terms.
D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by the self-proclaimed number one hockey hit on our station, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column. Elliot, I was watching Saturday headlines on Hockey Night in Canada over the weekend. The Predators that night were losing to the Ottawa Senators. You said that, as we talked about last week, Barry Trotz hoping to take a deep breath, see where everything goes. But you wondered aloud if perhaps he might be backed into a corner with the way that the things have been going with the Predators. Their winless streak as they play tonight against the Dallas Stars has reached 8 games. It's their longest such streak in more than 10 years. Do you think we're getting closer to that point where Barry Trotz might be backed into a corner and therefore does something that he may not want to do?
I know what you're referring to. I don't think it's hard to miss, Adam. I really believe that he is doing everything he can to avoid making Andrew Burnett the scapegoat for all of this. And I actually admire it on a lot of levels. I really admire it because I think I over my career, and I've been around for 30 years now, I've seen a lot of places where the easiest decision was made and the coach is the scapegoat or the coach gets thrown overboard. And I really believe, like I told you guys last week, when he was coming through Toronto, while I didn't speak to him directly, the word definitely was around that he really wanted to make sure that Brunette wasn't seen as the sole person who was responsible for this. And I believe that he has stuck with that. I believe on some level that he's trying to say that in the long term, people are going to grow out of adversity. I think that's something that Trotz believes in. And, you know, we may get to a point. And the other thing, too, that's a real challenge, Adam, is I think there's a real limit to what he can do trade-wise. You know, obviously, a lot of his players have no trade and no move clauses. There's going to be guys he's not going to want to move. He's got some injuries, too, that affect the roster. And I think the other thing, too, is, and I think this whole thing with Parsonen is going to get to a head sometime soon, but you've already seen a couple of young guys go elsewhere and do very well. And I think if you're in Nashville, you want to stop that from being a storyline. So I think the long answer is, I think the easy answer is yes. I definitely see him getting back into a corner. But I think the longer answer is, like in life, don't make a bad decision because you feel you have to do something. And I think that's what Trotz is trying to avoid.
Another team that everybody's keeping an eye on, a team that will be in Nashville on Tuesday, a team that kept you very busy last week, the New York Rangers. They did win last night. They defeated the Buffalo Sabres, a team that has its own set of problems. But we saw last week the trading of Jacob Trouba. I thought the conversations you've been having about, you know, the changes perhaps in how teams teams give out these no trade, no movement clauses to protect situations like we've seen with the Rangers on more than one occasion, not with just Jacob Trouba, but Barclay Goodrow as well. But the Rangers, despite winning last night, I believe have still lost 8 of 11. This is a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Final and won the President's Trophy. So what could be next for the New York Rangers? I know that Chris Kreider was also mentioned in that league-wide memo that included Trouba. But if things don't, if things continue to go south in New York, what's the big move the Rangers can make?
I still think they're looking at their blue line, Adam. You know, Ryan Lindgren is a guy who plays and competes really hard, and I think there's a chance he could be coming to the end of his time in New York. I think everybody kind of sees the writing on the wall there. I think the blue line is going to be a big focus for them. I believe the Rangers, like, the Rangers could have had Cam Fowler in that deal with Anaheim and didn't want it. So even though I think he could have helped them, I just think it says to me that they want their financial flexibility. They want their cap room. So either they're going to add something this summer, or try to anyway, among the big free agent class, or, I think JT Miller was a guy who was on their radar. I'm just not convinced he's going anywhere right now. I think that's what they're looking at is, can they add a big scorer? Can they add another defenseman, remake their blue line? And I think that's kind of like, I think they're just trying to add something, trying to find the best possible players they can find. I think that's the way to put it. But those things are hard to do in midseason.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thought Podcast. Listen to it whenever you get a chance to. Now, Elliot, we had, obviously we have Barry on every week with Jarrett. And it seems like it's must listen radio whenever Barry's on because of his honesty. But he did say something this week. I'm not sure if you heard it or not, but he did say something this week about possibly some things he could have done different through this whole process as far as free agency. And he did mention the center position and him probably approaching it a little bit different, being creative and how to go about that position. Obviously, we know he didn't get anyone at that position, and they've had a lot of turnover at the center position. But what do you make of what he explained about that position?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to notice, to mention, Derek, that while it's always a great hit, it still is the second best hockey hit
yes.
on the station. Okay.
I agree with you.
Let's not forget, okay? You know, when I'll say this. I didn't get a chance to listen to it this week. I will go back and do it. I was down in Florida at the board. I was traveling, and I didn't get a chance to listen. But off the top of my head, the one thing I would think there, and I could see him not naming the name because he's still a current Predator, but they have to be disappointed with what's happened this year with Novak. Mm-hmm. And look, like, when you go back there, you look at the roster, you look at the roster opening night, nobody was hurt. So you've got them putting together a team that you're like, opening night, we're very excited. We just had a great summer. We're really looking forward to our year. This is our lineup. And who was at the 2C spot? It was him. And they were really hopeful. And, like, he's a really talented guy. And, you know, he was being put with, if I remember correctly, opening night was Stamkos. I can't remember if it was Marchessault.
It was Marchessault on the other side.
Okay. So, like, just think about this. Like, so Barry, in his eyes, he's seeing, and Brunette too, they're seeing opening night, Tommy Novak between Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. And they're like, what's the last thing you think you're going to have to worry about with that line? Scoring. And it just hasn't worked. And, you know, like, so, like, I loved it when they re-signed Novak. I think he's a really talented guy. It just hasn't worked. And it's been a really hard season for him. So, and the thing is, like, Trotz, like, he wants to be honest. Like, I think, you know, like the segment he does every week on Tuesday, like he knows that the Nashville hockey fans, they want to hear from him, and he's talking directly to them. Mm-hmm. And so when I hear what you're referring to there, Derek, I'm thinking he's saying, I want to answer the question honestly. I want to be fair to the host and the fans, but like he doesn't really want to call out Novak by name. But to me, when I hear that, that's what I'm thinking about. But they were hopeful that that spot would be sorted out, and unfortunately, it hasn't been. And maybe what he would have done is he would have attacked the summer differently if he knew that it was going to be this much of a problem. That's what I would think, Derek, based on that answer.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts. And, Elliot, another theme, and it was a long session. It almost sounded like a therapy session because, as you said, Barry Trotz, he wants to get messages out to the fans. He wants to show how much he cares and how much he wants to succeed, which is admirable, right? I mean, that's his best asset. I think if you're a Predator fan, how dedicated he is to the market, to the organization. He wants to win for Nashville specifically. And one thing he said is sometimes you have a year that just doesn't go right. And this was before they lost to Calgary, a team that had really struggled on the road, and they lost Roman Josi, and they were playing without Josi, Carrier, Lausanne, O'Reilly, Nyquist in that game. So things haven't gotten any better since he did that interview. But he said sometimes you just have a year where it doesn't go right. And so he was talking a little bit about if it doesn't get better soon, maybe you play accordingly and you hope to bounce back next year, knowing that you're committed to a lot of these veteran players. But if he became a seller, what do you think is out there? We looked at the roster yesterday, and we're looking at guys like Gus Nyquist, who's a free agent. Colton Sisson has got 1 year left. You've mentioned Jeremy Lausanne. If the Predators decided to be sellers, what does the market look like there?
Well, I think, first of all, it depends on how many sellers there are. And right now, there's some, but not a ton. If you want to be here's the thing. Like, there's a lot of poker players out there, right? Like, there's good poker players in this league. And it comes down to two things. Number one, how wanted is your player? And number two, how patient you're willing to be. And I think that, like, Trotz has made it clear that he's willing to do things. And as I've talked to you guys before, like, there's a lot of GMs out there. When you're struggling, they throw you the anvil. They throw you the life preserver. I think his number one concern right now is don't make the problems worse. Don't do something, like, everybody out there in Nashville wants him to do something. The worst thing he could do is do something that only compounds the mistake. So I think he's dealing with that. I do think Nyquist would have interest. He's better than this. I don't know that he's as good as he was last year, where he had, I think, a historic shooting percentage, but he's better than this. I think that Sissons is the kind of player that teams really love in the postseason. I actually think that having another year under contract could make him more valuable, because you get him for two playoff rounds instead of playoff runs instead of one. I mentioned Lausanne, but I think Trotz indicated that he wasn't looking to move him. I think teams would love to get their hands on Jeremy Lausanne. I don't think Barry's position is wrong. Like, free hockey in all sports are littered with free agents who the first year was terrible and then they recover. Whether it's the shock, the change, the system, whatever it is, I do believe that that's not the wrong path to take. Like I told you what Marcia so said last week in Toronto. He says, I didn't sign here for 1 year. I signed here for five. We're going to figure this out. And I think that can happen. It's just a tough message to send 25 to 30 games into the season, because it's not what your fans want to hear, right? They're like, oh, okay, like this year we're writing off already. They don't like that. Now, but sometimes it is the right approach. I think to me right now, the number one thing that Barry Trotz has to do, and it's not sexy sounding. I've said it like 3-4 times in this interview already, but the number one thing he has to do is not do something that makes everything worse. Like, I think the most fascinating thing right now is you've got, you know, Marc Gasol with his comments to the French media.
I was going to ask you about that next.
And Brunette's had a couple of stingers this week. Like, just I'm reading these quotes and I'm like, holy cow. Like, I think it's kind of interesting that so far Trotz is like, hey guys, you can say whatever you want, but you guys got to figure this out. Like, sometimes I think that's the best path. Like, you know, hey guys, we all go to work and we're not all happy with each other some days. Not everybody gets thrown out of, you don't often get a chance to have people thrown out of your work. Sometimes you got to work through it. And sometimes you're forced to work through it. And, you know, if that's going to be the plan, I'm not necessarily against that.
Well, let's take the Marc Gasol thing a little further, because I agree with you, Elliot. I think it's essential, even if this year does not rebound the way it goes in the direction it's going. Long term, it is important that Marc Gasol finds his spot, you know, finds his place, because they've got him for a long time. Like you've referenced, same thing with Stamkos, who played with Marc Gasol in Forsberg. They're going to stick with that tonight for a second straight game, even with O'Reilly and Nyquist coming back in. So I'm curious how that looks tonight in Dallas, a very, very tough place to win.
Oh, yeah.
But you mentioned Marc Gasol. He did the interview in French. And you guys have referenced this on podcasts before. That will happen every now and then. I think there was an example a couple of summers ago where Evgeny Kuznetsov just kind of lit up the whole Washington organization in a Russian interview. It still, though, comes back to people, right? Even though we're not reading the French outlets, Barry Trotz clearly took note of what Marc Gasol said. He referenced it in his interview this week, and he had a long talk with Jonathan Marc Gasol in Ottawa right after that happened. But what's your thought when a player does that? Because I guess the player probably feels more comfortable speaking in his first language, and you feel like
that's
you can
fair.
Kind of vent a little bit more.
Well, I think that's true. Like, I always give the benefit of the doubt in those situations. Like, the first question I ask is, okay, is something being translated wrong? Like, I remember a player got furious at me once. It wasn't even me who did it, but it was – but, it, like, he gave an article. I think it was the goalie who was a Czech goalie. His name is – Peter Budaj. He reached out to me once because – he gave some interview to a newspaper in back in Czechia, and someone just used Google Translate to translate it. And he said it wasn't fair. Like, the way that Google Translate came out, it wasn't fair. So he asked me, like, these are my quotes, just put it out there for me. So I'm always very careful of that. Like, is the translation accurate, as you said, Willie? Like, I think sometimes players are guilty of thinking, and especially in this day and age, you should be well aware of that. Like, you know, 25 years ago, before the internet and social media, you could get away with that. You could say something in Quebec. You could say something overseas, and nobody would ever know. But right now, it's like, I always tell, like, whenever I speak to young people about this job, I always tell them, assume that any text or email you send is going to end up all over social media. Now, 99.9% of the time, it's not going to be that way, but that 0.1% where it does happen, if you've written something you regret, you're going to be in big trouble. So I think the players have to be aware of that too. Like, I don't, like, the thing is, like, one of the biggest things you have to do, particularly when you're going, like, we talked about this last week on the show, Adam asked the question. You guys are going through Canada last week. The season's not going very well. What were all those players doing? They were talking about, we still got lots of time. We made some changes to the system. Like, you know, we think we can still make this work. Even if they don't believe it, it's like, you know, you're going through Canada. Don't pour gasoline on the fire. And Marc Gasol made the mistake there of pouring the gasoline on the fire. And I don't blame Trotz for being mad about that one. And, you know, in that particular case, you know, Marc Gasol's just got, he's got to eat it and apologize, because in that situation, well, I don't know if he apologized, but he has to live with the criticism in that case, because, you know, when you're going badly, don't give other reason for people to kick you when you're down. You can't do that. And I bet you that's the reason that I bet you that's the reason that Brunette was so snarky this week, because he's looking at that quote and saying, "Are you kidding me?"
Well, what Barry Trotz exposed in the conversation, because one of Marcheseau's points was, "I'm playing with a lot of different guys," which is absolutely true, and I can understand to a degree that he's frustrated with that, that he hasn't found his groove with a line. But he used an example in Montreal where he warmed up in the line rushes with one group and then started the game with a different group. And he used that to sort of as an example and see how they're moving me around on the different lines. And Barry Strott said, "Do you not understand that he started the two Montreal guys? He started Zach LaRue. As you know, Elliot, sometimes you start the guy who's playing against his former team or something like that. That was the idea. That's why he did that. And Barry Trotz, that was the point he shared on the radio, was there's the disconnect there. You do understand that's your coach trying to back you up. That's not your coach trying to jerk you around there. So there was a miscommunication somewhere along the line.
Well, you know what, and I'll say this too. I'm really glad you told me that, because like I said, I missed the interview this week. That'll teach me, don't miss that interview. Secondly, so for this week, we'll say
even
that's
though
the
don't miss your
interview
because you are the number one interview.
Well, you know what, this week I'll tip my cap because Barry did good and gave great information there. You know what, I'll say too. Like I've dealt with Marcheseau a lot. Okay, I'll tell you this about this guy. Him and Stamkos, they couldn't have had a different path to Nashville. Stamkos was a number one pick, 60-goal scorer, big star, and he earned it. Like, I'm not saying that he was gifted this or he was handed it or he waltzed into it. Steven Stamkos worked and earned number one pick, and, like, he's had terrible injuries, and he's always fought back from them. I'm a big Stamkos guy. No matter how rough this year has been, I'm a big Stamkos guy. Jonathan Marcheseau, was the ultimate underdog, scrapped and clawed and fought for every inch he got, didn't really make it until he was later. So he always has the chip on his shoulder. Like, you look at this past year, Vegas wanted to sign him, but it had to be on their terms. Like, they wanted deferred money, it's clear, if you've seen his interviews, he felt disrespected. Now, people can argue if that's true. I'm sure people are looking now at what's happening and saying, well, boy, Vegas was right all along. But Marcheseau, to him, it's just, that's who he is. That's the way he is wired. That's the reason he was the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs 2 years ago. That's the reason he's carved out a big role in this league. It's because he's got this constant, constant chip on his shoulder. And look, he's here now. It's not going very well. His numbers aren't good. He knows people are poking at him, and he's defensive. And it's because he's but I'll tell you this, some of that is his own frustration because he knows he's below expectation, and I think it kills him inside to be below expectation.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet's NHL insider, co-host of the 32 Thoughts podcast, author of the 32 Thoughts column, joining us here as he does every Thursday. Elliot, great stuff. Even though you're giving yourself number two this week, you're still number one in our hearts.
Don't worry, I'll be back next week, and I will reclaim my throne, and Barry will be relegated to the second position.
Elliot, thank you so much.
All right, take care, guys. Mm-hmm.
Elliot Friedman joining us on the program. We actually haven't discussed those Marcheseau comments. We were planning on doing it the other day, but we did not get to it. So why don't we do that next? Coming up, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Always a pleasure to speak to Elliot Friedman. Willie, you referenced comments that Jonathan Marcheseau made to French-language media while the team was in Montreal last week. We actually haven't had a chance to discuss those comments. And I'm like you, Willie, and Elliot as well. when I see these comments circulating around social media, that's in it, it's in a different language, I'm always hesitant to use Google Translate because things could get lost in translation. So when I saw this article come out, I actually sent it to two native French speakers. If you work in hockey long enough, you know plenty of people who speak French. So I sent the article to two native French speakers, both based in Montreal, and their translation was actually pretty close to the Google Translate translation, but it made me feel better about it, knowing that I actually had someone who speaks French look at the comments. So the comments that went around the most, and the one that Barry Trotz answered for with Jared, Marchessault said, quote, "I've been changing partners in my line a lot since the start of the season. I think I've played with just about everybody." He then goes on later to say, "Every shift, I wonder who I'm jumping on the ice with. I had a line during the warm-up, and I started the game with other guys. I changed lines about three times tonight." Now, he said other things, such as, "I'm a soldier. You tell me to be here, I'll be here. You tell me what to do, I'll do it. They seem to want to use me that way. I'll give it everything I got." He also said, "I'm leaving a place in Vegas where I belonged. I'm coming here and trying to find my place, but it's hard to find it. I don't really have any words." So he also took responsibility in those quotes through the French press, not to be confused with a French press if you like coffee. he said he did.
Our house, as a matter of fact.
Yes, he did take responsibility for his play. But those comments about, I've been on so many different lines and my lines changed three times tonight, those were the comments that spread around the most. And as you said, Willie and Elliot concurred, when things aren't going well, you don't want to pour gasoline on the fire, especially when the Predators are traveling through some hockey hotbeds. And I thought that those comments and Trotz's comments in response, clearly those comments got back to Barry Trotz, and you could tell he was not thrilled with what Marchessault had to say.
I don't think anybody was. I don't think Andrew Brunette was either. But Barry Trotz did acknowledge publicly on our radio station, which is why you should listen to our station, because Barry gives you the info. You know, that's something he could have kept private, but he made it a point to say, "I talked to Marchessault." And I think, look, this isn't something where he shows up every day and nobody wants to talk. They want to make this work, right? Marchessault wants to make it work. Barry Trotz does. Andrew Brunette does. They've all got their own way of how to go about that process, and it hasn't happened. Although he did have his best game in the last game. That was Tuesday against Calgary, and they're going to keep that trio together. Marchessault playing with Stamkos as the center, and Forsberg on the left wing. Let's see if that has some traction. They're going to roll it out tonight. And, of course, you're going up against a high, high-level defensive team, high-level all-around team tonight in Dallas. So if you can make it happen tonight, then that's a great sign that maybe you have something long-term. So we will see, because everything they've tried, it might work for a game or two, but nothing has really gained traction. And that's why they are where they are. But Barry Trotz, I think the one thing that really set him off was he felt like Marchessault used the fact that Andrew Brunette started him to honor the fact that he's from Montreal area, and Zach LaRue is from Montreal, had a ton of family there, and so you start those guys. That's why he started a group that did not warm up together. That was not some zany thing by Andrew Brunette to try to, you know, throw a curveball at the Canadians or throw a curveball at Marchessault. But Marchessault tried to make it sound like, hey, this coach doesn't know what he's doing. He warmed me up with one line and then he started me on another. Well, there's a perfectly sound reason for that, which happens a lot in the NHL. So that, I think, more than any other of the comments that he made, really bugged Barry Trotz. And I think he hashed it out accordingly.
I wonder, Willie, in that sort of situation, because, you know, to me, if the player wasn't informed, then I can see how Marchessault would, you know, after the game, say something like that. if there wasn't a heads up, hey, listen, this is what we're thinking about doing. This is what we're going to do. You're back home, so we want to do this. If that was told to him, then shame on Marsh Assault for then taking that and using that against the head coach. Now, if that wasn't explained to him, I can see how he would say, you know, hey, listen, y'all playing me on different lines, and I need to, you know, get some type of stability here. Again, if they told him that and he still went out and said what he said, shame on him. But if they didn't convey that to him, then I can understand what he's saying in that regard. So I don't know if it was told to him prior to the game or not, and that's what I'm asking you.
Well, it is announced to the team in the locker room who is the starting lineup. So I think that that is enough of a routine. And Adam, you tell me if you concur with this, that when a guy's playing against his former team, like tonight, I would not be surprised at all if Matt Duchene starts against the Predators. It's just sort of a customary thing. It's something that a lot of coaches do to try to give the team a little jack up, you know, give that player a little nudge saying, hey, I know you're back in your hometown, or you're playing against the team that traded you, or whatever the case may be. And so you get to start tonight, right? It's not like the basketball where you're going to start your starting five, you know, almost every time. In hockey, the shifts go so short, you know, you usually try to deliver a message. Am I starting my character group? Like last year, they started starting Michael McCarron's group for that identity to start the game. There's usually a motivation. So I think that should be something that doesn't have to be explained to Marchessault, and I think he should have known that right off the bat, that that's what was happening. That's your coach trying to give you a boost. That's but your coach trying to say, let me get you going. I acknowledge you're in your hometown. Let's make this a good night for you.
But I understand everything that you're saying, Willie. But the contrary to what you just said, it's like, okay, if you tell me that, then I know, like I've been told, you can't expect someone to think like you. So if you want them, you got to explain to them what you're exactly doing and why you're doing it. So there will not be this sort of ambiguity with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that coach didn't say that.
To me, it should have been obvious.
Yeah, yeah. And see, you know that. Exactly. You know that world better than I do. But just coming from the professional sports world, it's better if you tell me this is why you're doing it, than just doing it and expecting me to understand why you did it understand why you did it. But I get what you're saying. If it's customary for that to be done, he should have known. But you give him sort of an out if you don't explain it all the way through. Like, this is why we're doing what we're doing.
Well, the bigger thing is the issue that Marshall brought up. And I want to hear your thoughts on it, Adam, because – He has played on a lot of different lines, right? But this is the classic dilemma. This is the perspective of Andrew Brunette. Look, you're supposed to drive whatever your line you're on. You're the guy that has scored 40 goals last year. You're the guy that's been on a lot of winning teams. We got you to drive these other lines. You should not be a player that is reliant solely upon the guys you play with so you can be productive. That's one of the reasons they paid him the big bucks to bring him here. So Andrew Brunette saying, I don't want to move you around to the different lines, but what choice do I have when you've struggled everywhere I've put you? That is the perspective I'm getting, not directly from Andrew Brunette, but that's the signals I'm getting. Andrew Brunette would be the first to tell you he'd love to put in the same lineup with the same guys every game because that's how you get into a groove. But he's felt like he's had no choice. So I don't think he's choosing to move Marchessault around to try to put him in a bad spot. He wants more than anybody for Marchessault to be successful.
And I think it was good that Barry Trotz said what he said with Jared, explaining the reason why. Because I'll be honest, I hadn't thought of that, despite the fact that, as Willie said, it is custom in the NHL.
Yeah. I'll say this. We said it on our broadcast because we were throwing a curveball when they put the starting lineup out, and we knew that that's not how the line rushes went in the warm-ups. We were going to show the lines in our open, and then we saw that and we're like, wait a minute, did they change all of the lines? And I did say on the opening faceoff they're starting a couple of Montreal guys, and then as the game unfolded they went back to the lines that they had warmed up in, and in fairness to Marchessault, they did swap him up again late in the game because they hadn't scored, right? So they jumbled the lines in the third period because they were trying to shake it up and find something that worked.
And to your point, Willie, and we'll wrap this up here, Marchessault, and this goes really for the whole team, but since we're talking about Jonathan Marchessault, he has not played well enough to be on one line with consistent line mates. It has not worked out for the entire team, but it also hasn't worked out for him. Now, he did score two goals the other night. That line showed some promise. Maybe that gets him going. But to Willie's point, you know, I've been hard on Andrew Brunette. I've also been hard on Jonathan Marchessault. And in this situation, Marchessault hasn't done enough this season to be given, you know, the idea of, hey, we're going to keep this line together as long as we can. It just hasn't worked. So, you know, the point is, when things aren't going well, it tends to snowball. And this situation was an example of a frustrated team. And the Predators hope that that frustration ends tonight against the Dallas Stars. We'll wrap up the show next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinkin, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick coming up. D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick is coming on right now. Stillman and Company is coming up next. Tongue-tied there. Kane is in the building. I know what my own show is. Stillman and Company is coming up next. Jake Lyman and Teron Davenport filling in for Jared Stillman. So a little Jake and TD on Thursday afternoon. A lot of Titans talk coming up next. So the Predators are in Dallas. Roman Josi out tonight, day-to-day with a lower body injury. But, Willie, if I saw correctly, Ryan O'Reilly will return to the lineup tonight?
Ryan O'Reilly and Gus Nyquist should be back in there based on what we saw at morning skate today. O'Reilly, Nyquist, and Colton Sissons. They will keep Forsberg, Stamkos, and Marchessault together. They will keep Jankowski, Novak, Evangelista together. It does look like they will sit Fedor Svechkov tonight, and I don't think it is a long-term thing. I think it's just, you know, maybe a little fatigue mentally. He had a rough game against Tuesday. I think it's a step back, hopefully, to take a couple of steps forward with him. They love his overall game. They think he is going to be a really good player. But and then the same as tonight. Justus Onanen was in the starter's crease, and I think with Juuse Saros playing 11 of the last 12 games, I think they thought he looked a little tired. I was talking to Chris Mason about this morning. Just a little tired, and for his standard, which is so high, he was below standard on Tuesday against Calgary. That was one of the things that was such a tough thing, is they actually did get a little offense. They scored three, and it coincided with maybe not their best performance defensively, and of course the Roman Josi thing piled on to all of that. So that's what it looks like from here. And they've called up Kevin Gravel to replace Roman Josi, so they are really getting deep. This will be the 10th defenseman they use already, and this is what, game 30 for the season.
Adam in Portland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I can't speak in this last segment. We brought in Jonathan Marchessault for his leadership and Stanley Cup resume, and he's playing like Ryan Hartman, GTFOH, going on record complaining. When it's bad, it's bad. But all over the televisions in the studio, we've been watching, or looking at, because we can't hear the sound, Bill Belichick's introductory news conference as head coach of the North Carolina football program. And I just have to say one thing. All right. So as part of the introduction, the athletic director for Carolina, whose name is, and I kid you not, Bubba Cunningham. That's a great athletic director name, particularly for North Carolina. Bubba Cunningham donned a sports coat with the sleeves cut off. We got to stop with the sleeves cutting off with Bill Belichick.
No, it's cool.
No.
That is cool.
No.
I like that.
No. It's old hat at this point. Old sweatshirt, which is what Bill Belichick wears when he coaches. We got to stop with this. Oh, look at me. I'm cutting the sleeves off of my sport coat. Who cares? It's dumb. Stupid.
Well, I mean.
Strongly disagree.
Spoken like a true Duke fan.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So. If Bill Belichick
would
were
because.
Go ahead.
Would Duke ever have an athletic director named Bubba?
They might have had at some point.
I can guarantee they never had an AD named Bubba.
They're too sophisticated.
Now, to be fair, how many ADs have there been in all college sports named Bubba?
You got a point there. Yeah.
Probably not a lot.
I'm just talking the nickname, too.
His actual name is Lawrence, so I could see why he wanted to go with Bubba. Lawrence R. Bubba Cunningham.
That's one reason they're going to lose.
Oh, man.
That's one reason this ain't going to work.
They presented Bill Belichick with the cutoff sweatshirt, but then Bubba Cunningham put on the suit jacket with the cutoff sleeves. And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is going to be terrible. It just started, and I know this is going to be
I hope it does work out.
I don't.
I know you don't.
But
for many
why
reasons.
Is that?
I'll show you my birth certificate.
He was born at the University of Duke. That's where he was born.
Durham, North Carolina. That'll do it for us today. Jake Lyman and Teron Davenport filling in for Jared Stillman. Coming up next on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Be love, love on your people. Have a blessed, wonderful, and safe Thursday. Peace. Go home, but you can't.